This is Pure Decking for May the 29th, 2014. This is the show about stuff that interests me, like the current police state, information security, and the sad state of the average American's intelligence. I'm Morps, and tonight I have RU486, Sard, and Suave. This is Pure Decking, show 149. We're back.
Yay!
That had a strange harmonic quality to it there.
We've been working on that for the last 2 months.
Yep. The whole time we've been off. Man,
every week, 3 hours a day, just sitting there going, yay! Together. We have an album coming out on iTunes next month.
There you go.
Support it, buy it, download it.
Check it out.
Give it to your kids. Yeah.
Very nice. So, obviously, Pure Decking is back, and every other show is going on hiatus. Oh, I'm still not really fully moved, but you know what? Hell with it. I can start doing the show again. Of course, now start. So, of course, I'm pretty much settled into the new job now and dealing with that. And Suave, I understand you're taking the hobo route?
Yeah. I am now gainfully unemployed and thoroughly enjoying it.
Nice. It is always nice to have that little bit of time on your hands. So, anyways,
whenever you go between jobs, it's always, if it's possible, it's nice to, like, that's a one chance you have to take, like, a couple of months off, you know, and go back to the 9 to 5, 2 weeks of vacation a year bullshit.
A couple of months, I got a week, and even then I didn't get nearly everything I needed done.
Amazing, yeah. You know how you get more time?
Mm-hmm.
You're hooking, I'm fucking out of here, you dumb cunt organization. This is my last day. Guess what? I haven't been able to get a job for over a year now.
Yeah. Well, you know, that could happen.
I also just want to point out, I finally got the soundboard working much nicer. That old Android tablet, it was really screwed up. I had to wipe it out and reflash a ROM on it. And it turns out the Tegra 2 is no longer a supported chipset in modern versions of Android, so that was fun. I think that's how I broke it, was I tried to load a newer ROM on it than it could really handle.
That's a bummer.
Yeah.
I remember when the Tegra was supposed to be this revolutionary piece of equipment, and it just kind of petered out and died.
Yeah.
Like, it was really cool, but it's like there was a big delay on their release, and, like, if they had released it when they first announced it, it would have been the best thing ever. But by the time it actually got out there, there was better hardware. Oh, well.
Well, yeah, mine are just tweaking the levels here just a little bit. I'm thinking you guys might be a bit quiet on the recording. So, anyways, I'm going to be doing decking a little bit differently. Basically, I'm going to summarize the stories instead of reading a big chunk of them verbatim. I think that's going to give us more time to discuss stories, and I can just kind of, you know, read the important bits as opposed to stumbling over names. So... we're going to try that tonight, see how it does. If it doesn't work out well, we'll just go back to the old way. But I do want to at least give that a shot tonight. And I think we're going to be on discussion for, like, most of the show with TrueCrypt. So let's go ahead and dive right into it. I'm drinking tea. I don't even have any booze right now. So I don't know about you guys.
That's weird. What show is this?
The FBI did it. Thank you, Madman.
Yeah. It's seasonably warm here right now. Bastards need to drink more. We're falling back into the sun again.
That's Madman's department.
Seriously, man. It's meant to be winter. It's bloody 24 degrees right now. It's beautiful.
Sard, what are you drinking, man?
I've got one of Shot Top's Honey Crisp Apple Wheat.
I've got some of those in the fridge. They're not bad.
Yeah, they're. I like them.
So have you?
I just find it amusing. You guys buy alcohol and it's still in the fridge the next day.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, I once tried building up a liquor collection. It It didn't work out very well.
It never lasts very long, does it? You drinking
gets
anything?
Gets respectable.
Go ahead.
Am
yeah,
I?
I'm not. I'm just drinking water.
Okay.
I have coffee.
Coffee. Yes, good man. All right. Let's. So anybody who's been living under a rock, because when I wrote this thing the other day, it was still fresh, and I was really, really hoping I was going to have to go through and change my notes for today. Yeah, no, nothing changed. TrueCrypt
shut down. You were rather
upset
yesterday.
TrueCrypt has... I don't know what TrueCrypt's done. They're like, you know, we're done, see you. You know, just saying peace out, bitches, and dropping the microphone, I think. I mean, okay, anybody, if you go to the TrueCrypt.org page, it redirects you to SourceForge. And their SourceForge page has a big message at the top saying, TrueCrypt is not secure. Don't use it. It's a horrible piece of shit piece of software. Use Microsoft BitLocker. And has instructions for taking a TrueCrypt volume and turning it into a BitLocker volume. And now... what? So, the slug from their page, I guess their justification here. The development of TrueCrypt was ended in 5/2014 after Microsoft terminated support for Windows XP, Windows 8, 7, and Vista, and later offer integrated support for encrypted disk and virtual disk images. Such integrated support is also available on other platforms. You should migrate any data encrypted by TrueCrypt to encrypted disks or virtual disk images supported on your platform. And then they have a walkthrough of turning a TrueCrypt locker or TrueCrypt volume into a BitLocker volume. And, you know, I mean, there was some question from time to time about the value of some of the things TrueCrypt was actually doing, but nobody really questioned what it was about. I mean, it had plausible deniability modes. It had all this stuff in it for, I mean, just totally hiding from your government, right? Mm-hmm. and BitLocker, I you know, a lot of people are turning up their nose at it and saying, oh, God, not BitLocker, that's Microsoft's, it's horrible. To be fair, for what it tries to be, BitLocker is not terrible crypto. It's been broken a lot, but it's not the crypto that's been broken. My understanding is it's the way Microsoft stores the keys, because it dumps them in the TPM and... You know, BitLocker, it stores the key and then encrypts it with user certificates so that, you know, your user account can be given permission to decrypt this volume as opposed to traditional encryption where you either have the key or you don't. Right. So, you know, BitLocker, you know, your domain admin can give somebody rights to your volume if you're on a domain. I guess the real kick in the dick about BitLocker, though, is at least in Windows 8 and I think in Windows 7, by default, it's going to send a copy of your key up to Microsoft. I
what?
Know, yeah.
It'll be in the nice cloud, though.
Yeah.
Well, it's tied to
that's
your...
That's perfect. That's exactly where you want your keys.
I know it does it in Windows 8 because it ties it to your Microsoft account since you're using that to log into Windows 8. And you know why they do this. It's so that, you know, when the customer calls up and says, my computer quit working, I turned on this BitLocker thing, and now I can't get the pictures of my kids, their help desk has something they can tell them, as opposed to, well, you're fucked, because that's not a, you know, that's not a consumer-friendly answer.
We spoke about that yesterday, and that's the way to increase the productivity of your help desk over 300% in a single 24-hour period.
Just let them tell their users you're fucked.
You're fucked. That's all the script you need. Plus, you don't have to hire competent people. You can just hire people from New Jersey to get the effect that you're looking for. It'll be great.
There you go. But, yeah. I there's a lot of theories floating around of what has actually happened here. Because the other thing that TrueCrypt did was they put out version 7.2, which they hadn't updated TrueCrypt in years. And version 7.2 won't let you encrypt anything. All it does is it throws up all these warnings whenever you try to encrypt anything, saying TrueCrypt's not secure, don't use it. But it'll let you decrypt, so you can use it to recover your TrueCrypt encrypted volumes. But that's all it does. Now, here's the thing, though. It's signed with the same PGP signature as the last release.
So it's got to be an official release, even though everyone's been saying it's not an official release, don't use it.
Whoever put it out has the keys.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's a couple of different theories floating around. One is that this is an epic troll. Somebody's hacked the page and defaced it and put up this version.
That's my personal theory.
And because you were pointing me at that subreddit thread where people are talking were talking about that. And I know a lot of people think it's a hoax. I'm not so sure it is, because they've got that key. And if it was me, and I was if I was wearing my black hat, and I got into the TrueCrypt dev system and had the keys and could put out an official version of TrueCrypt, I wouldn't do all this stay away from TrueCrypt shit. I'd be as quiet as possible and just quietly slip out an update that let me do whatever I wanted. You know, malware, botnet, take your pick, right?
That's true.
That's what most of your hacks would do. If it's some kind of a, political statement by somebody, who the hell... What hacktivists hate TrueCrypt? I've never heard of any of them that
the
don't
government.
Like it. The government, exactly. My
oh God! It's what the FBI, the CIA.
I actually think they got a government fruit basket, and this is their canary.
Could be.
I was wondering how many kittens they had to snap the heads off in front of them before they did it.
I don't know.
I seriously think there was some dude standing behind them, make sure they did it, and then took all their shit away.
No, I don't think that's what happened. Because if that's what happened, it would have been silent. You wouldn't know anything about it. They just would have put out the update that put the back door in it. I figure what happened here is somebody found the TrueCrypt devs. Because remember, these guys were anonymous, and that was a really big deal that they weren't announcing who they were and all this other stuff. And so I think what happened is whoever runs it was forced to hand over the source code and the encryption key, and the PGP signing key, and the passwords, and all this stuff. Like, they got a national security letter or something, right? And so they quickly threw this crap together and threw it out there, because they're not saying, we were visited by the FBI, they're backdooring TrueCrypt, don't use it. They're just, stay away, run away, it's bad, it's bad, it's bad, it's not secure. Go
for
use BitLocker, reason. Or, And a lot of people think that the recommendation to use BitLocker is like some kind of a sign. I think BitLocker is not quite as bad as it's made out to be, but BitLocker has a different goal. BitLocker's goal is to keep, the idiot who stole your laptop, from being able to get your company's information, whereas TrueCrypt is meant to let you subvert the government.
Anyone trying to get your files.
Well, right. I mean, but like the FBI spent 5 years trying to crack a TrueCrypt volume that they got from a Brazilian agency, and they couldn't do it. That was always why I liked recommending TrueCrypt, is because it had a track record of government agencies not being able to get into it.
Yeah.
And
untested.
Yeah, if they got an NS, if they got that letter, they can't say, the government's backdooring it. They'll go to jail. So I imagine what's happened is they got this letter, and they're trying to scare as many people away from TrueCrypt. And if the post comes out in a couple of days, oh, yeah, we got defaced. Sorry about that, guys. Here's the real next version. really? That's going to be right up there with my opinion of Demonoid. Really?
Such an untrustworthy man. I don't trust anything.
He's into InfoSec. It kind of comes with the territory.
Why take a chance? I mean, it's like, if it's suddenly all smiles and, oh, yeah, sorry about that, guys. It's just, that was a total accident or total pop or...
That was a blip in the network.
Yeah.
That was not anything of your concern.
Especially if the web page comes back and, looks a little, doesn't look any different at all. Yeah, I expect somebody grabbed it, and this is their attempt to scare people off of it so that when they do slip the back door in. But The thing is, TrueCrypt was open source, so, but its licensing was weird, so I don't know if anybody's going to try to fork it or not. But I think
that someone would try.
Yeah. Well, I think there'll probably be several, but
yeah,
the licensing was going to make it hard to do. Because how do you contact the people to get permission to republish it as GPL or whatever?
No one pays attention to that. We should make the G15 TrueCrypt application. That'd be cool.
Well, I'm not sure who would sue you on behalf of violating their license, now that I think about it.
Yeah.
Because they're that anonymous about it. So, but I do think the earlier versions of TrueCrypt probably still are safe to use. Maybe not the... You know, maybe not the last version, but version two before that. But I don't know. I like all the people sitting there, like, auditing the code and figuring out subtle little differences. Like, there was one guy who was posting there, all instances that used to say U period, S period, now say the United States. That's strange. I wonder if that's code for something. I mean, it's just...
What about the, it's kind of a bummer that this is happening, because what about the audit that they're doing on it that they crowdfunded or whatever?
The audit found a couple of implementation bugs and a few things that might be, places you could attack it. But
I thought that was just preliminary.
Well, they did the bootloader, and they did bits of the crypto.
Right.
The guy doing the audit said he's going to finish it anyways.
Okay.
So, I don't know. That's
good. But, I mean, I guess if they audit that one version, you know that one version's okay.
Yeah, that's true. Madman is, like, having brain is not working. He's, like, having an autistic attack in the IRC chat room there. I don't know. There are some really interesting threads going on right now, because there is, like, no official word from anybody on TrueCrypt other than just what they posted on the main page, which is don't use it. Apparently, there was a guy on Wikipedia by the name of TrueCrypt_End who was posting early, and they think he knew what was going on before time, but they're not sure. And so I've got links in the show notes to the Wikipedia discussion and the Y Combinator discussion. There's also a couple of good discussions on Reddit, but I didn't feel like I needed to link to them because they're, like, at the top of everything right now on Reddit. So, but with the whole anonymous developers of TrueCrypt, somebody popping up saying, "Oh yeah, I'm the author, and that's why I shut it down." That's going to be really hard to prove.
That's true. I mean, legit or not.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
So.
No idea.
But there was a guy on the Y Combinator thread who did a lot of work with the 7.2 binary that was posted. The PGP signatures match. The Authenticode match. The SourceForge data was actually modified. So there are people actually doing code audits. They're comparing the old TrueCrypt code to the new code. And the DNS records were modified. So if this wasn't done by the TrueCrypt devs, it was done by somebody who got their hands on everything.
Right.
So,
and that's obviously the thing you got to be worried about.
And that's, so if it was a hack, it's a really strange one, because I don't see this as a defacement. I mean, it just doesn't smell like one. A defacement usually makes fun of people or tries to, spread malware or whatever like that. And there have been a lot of people who've been playing with the 7.2 release to look for the malware. And it's not calling home. It's not doing anything other than a whole bunch of annoying warnings that TrueCrypt is not secure and decrypts your stuff. So it appears to be safe to run. And like I said, all the signatures match. Let's see, I'm just looking through my notes here. Yeah, I already talked about BitLocker. There is a fun screenshot on Twitter, which I think I'll link to in the show notes, that apparently came from a Microsoft Services presentation of how to recover or how to use a BitLocker recovery key. And it's, it, I think it's a little out of context because it, it's like saying we have the recovery key password, so we type it in. That could be part of the training material, just saying, okay, we're going to assume we have this key from somewhere else. But they're kind of presenting this as like Microsoft has the key.
Has all the keys ever.
Well, they kind of have a lot of them.
Well, I thought it was flawed anyways because like I think you mentioned it earlier about the key living in the registry.
It is.
Anyways, and being able to pull it out of there.
It is, because then, if you're using it on volumes, the key is stored on the system drive, right? It's encrypted with the user certificate. And what Windows will do is, so, how to explain this? Of course, your machine will have a user account. You know, your Windows user account, the thing you live in every day. And it also has a built-in administrator account and guest account. And, you know, if your machine is shared among a couple of people, you'll have multiple accounts. So the key that's actually used to encrypt that BitLocker drive will be wrapped up. The drive is encrypted with symmetric encryption because, dear God, can you imagine how slow asymmetric would be? But the key is encrypted in asymmetric, and it's just using a little Windows-generated cert pair, right? So your user cert is used to encrypt the key, and any other user that gets access to that BitLocker drive, you know, Windows will generate a cert for that user and then re-encrypt the key with that cert. So, you know, it makes a copy of the key for every user that has access. And I think you're right. I think a chunk of that is stored in the registry. I'd have to double check my Windows architecture crap to know for certain where it's actually stored, but it is encrypted with a user certificate. So it's not enough to recreate a Microsoft account with the same username and password. Remember, like on XP, as long as you gave you had an account on every box with the same username and password, you could pivot all over your network.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not like that anymore. You have SIDs and GUIDs and certs and all that other stuff that's generated uniquely for every account. So you actually have to have a full backup of the account to be able to plug it back in and get your key out of it. So, but the BitLocker keys are sent to Microsoft, especially if you have a Microsoft account in Windows 8. I know for certain that's when it's sent up there. I'm trying to think. It could send it up in other situations. I know you can back it up there if you choose to, but when you actually do the BitLocker drive encryption, it'll want to back up a recovery key to your flash drive. So you might have that laying around too, not even meaning to. So there's that. But and this is the big one. If you're doing full drive encryption, you have to have a TPM module in your laptop, and people have picked those things apart and gotten keys out of them. So, you know, BitLocker is designed to prevent, you know, somebody who stole your laptop, possibly corporate espionage. But if you're dealing with a government, they can just subpoena Microsoft or your company and get the key.
Assuming that you have a backup of it, your company has a backup of it.
If you're on a domain, it gets saved up to the domain. If you're not on a domain, I don't know. That's interesting, especially if you – I think on Windows 7 you can be really explicit about where that thing goes. I'm not so sure on Windows 8. I haven't played with it on Windows 8. So, But I do know it saves it to your Microsoft account.
Which is awful.
Well, like I said, they're doing that for the customer support.
Sure, and customer service and all that.
That's
but
not
still,
malicious on Microsoft's part, but it does mean that if they get a subpoena – Yeah. I mean, Microsoft has a history of working with the government anyway, so it's not like they're the best actor in this field. But I'm willing to give
their biggest customers, man.
Yeah.
Of course they're going to work with them.
I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt on this, so that if a court shows up with a subpoena for a key, they really don't actually have a choice. They might be smiling when they hand it over, but they still don't really have the choice. So, I mean, I'm kind of willing to, you know, not hold them over the coals for this. Now, Apple, on the other hand, with the TrueCrypt or their file vault stuff, which is what TrueCrypt recommends using on Apples, the encryption's fine, but it uses a really short recovery key. And I'm pretty certain somebody could brute force that thing in a couple of weeks if they were really trying. And unless you can flag it like after 10 attempts to format the drive or something. But that was the USB drive. Iron Key, they got that right. 10 tries and the drive is wiped. That's
right.
Yeah.
Same with trying to open it up also.
Yeah, no, it had epoxy and sensors and what was it that they did if you tried to open it up?
I just know it fries it. I don't know exactly how it does it.
The case is completely filled with epoxy. I know that. The thing's solid. Right. You would likely destroy it getting it out of the epoxy alone. But I thought I remembered reading, maybe I'm thinking of something else, where they actually had something in it that if it was exposed to oxygen, it would like mess up stuff.
Huh.
Maybe I'm thinking of something else.
That's cool. I don't know about that one.
Yeah. I'm not going to say that one's 100% true. I'm just kind of doing that one off memory. But I do like some of the conspiracy theories starting around. Like the warning at the top of the TrueCrypt page says, verbatim, warning, using TrueCrypt is not secure as it may contain unfixed security issues. NSA. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Still, that's kind of a joke. But I don't know. This so smells like a government force shutdown. Like they got Lava Bit.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
The Lava Bit. This really smells like that.
The one that they said hand us your keys, and the guy was like, "Nope, I'm shutting down." Rather than handing over my user keys.
Then they sued him for obstruction, all this other stuff. He finally gave him the keys.
Yeah,
printed out
to court and all that. Yeah.
He printed out in 4-point font, and yeah, they wouldn't
giant ass key.
Well, I mean, they wanted a hard copy of the key. That's just like, well, okay. But, the fact that it has the same PGP keys, like I said, here in a week, if it looks like everything's gone back to normal, and, oh, yep, sorry about that, guys, and they have some story.
Very suspicious.
I'm not sure I would trust the new versions of TrueCrypt after this. Because how do you know, right?
Yeah,
you don't. That's the whole thing.
I ended up having a pretty good conversation with Lore over IM this morning. He was really after me about this, too. It's like, yep, well, I mean, it's like, good luck. He's like, well, it's open source. Somebody's going to fork it, right? Well, yeah, probably. But then we got to figure out what forks we trust.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, it's open source. That means more people will be auditing the code. You mean like OpenSSL? And Linux, and I mean, they still find bugs in that stuff all the time. So I don't. It's kind of depressing, but I don't. I'm still kind of waiting to see what to make of this. I was really hoping somebody was going to have a really good analysis, and there's really not. I didn't change my notes at all from what I put together last night when I was talking with you guys. Because nothing really changed.
I looked around last night on a few message boards that I go to now and then, and everyone was saying the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, there's just nothing to work with here, really. There's a whole bunch of speculative blog posts now, but nothing else has really changed.
Just means no one really knows. And
exactly.
Without more info, no one's going to know. So,
yeah.
What else are you going to do? The records paste bin hasn't got anything about it, so... They did have 15,000 iTunes usernames and logins, though.
That explains a story I have later.
Oh, really?
Yes, it does.
Nice.
And it involves your country, too, are you?
Oh, great.
We could scroll down and do that one. We could scroll down and go ahead and just roll right into that one if you want.
We don't script this show. That was just something I was looking at last night.
Yeah, Neil Wynn has an article on this. Let's do it. It's from Neil Wynn. Apple users across Australia are getting hit with ransom demands after their Macs, iPhones, and iPads are being locked up by hackers. Many people are reporting their Apple devices are being locked up and that hackers are sending ransom demands across the board. The most common ransom note says the device has been locked by Oleg Pliss and that the user needs to send between $50 and $100 Australian dollars, I should say, to a PayPal account to get back control of the device. And they're picking apart the phones and figuring out there's no malware on these things. They think what's happened is somebody got their hands on an Apple ID, a big whack of Apple IDs, and is going in and using Apple's, you know, lock the device reported as stolen features. And leaving the message on the thing saying...
That's quality. That was such a great feature. Oh, all my shit's in the cloud. Yeah, that's great. Way to go.
But now the funny part is, apparently you can turn on two-step authentication for an Apple account. I was not aware of that. I haven't seen that anywhere. I guess Apple doesn't make a big deal about it. And also, if you had a lock code on the device, apparently it's not, you know, you can punch in the code and get back into your phone.
Interesting.
Who the hell doesn't have a lock code on their phone and tablet?
I don't, because I'm lazy.
On your
and
phone?
I don't really care.
I mean, okay, on the tablet, I kind of understand. Yeah, that's kind of like
a
personal thing.
Yeah, I've got
a
lock code on my phone, but not on my tablet. Cause
there's
it
nothing
lives
on
in my
it.
House.
Well, but your email?
Yeah. Yeah. There's nothing there. I don't know.
Oh, okay. Can I have your email password? I won't. You know, it's just nothing there. Yeah, we'll have fun with that. He's like, nope, fuck you, no. Think about that for a minute, and then just tell me that, you know, doesn't matter again.
I guess I see your point.
Someone just got told by daddy.
I'm gonna go sulk in my room now.
You're not my real dad, fuck you. Oh, wait, where did this... I'm confused now. Where did this go?
I think Aryu has daddy issues. Even
though. That was funny. It's like a scolding from an angry parent.
But
what if she had have gotten pregnant? I know it feels better without a condom, son, but you need to lock it.
Let's see. How far did we get before we got 34 minutes? That's actually pretty good.
A new record.
Before we went right off the rails there.
Not bad at all. It's usually
like 5 minutes. It's like we're in the intro and somebody says something. I mean,
I was just saying, I think that was the minimum record is like 5 seconds in the show.
It's like usually it's like, hey, what are you drinking? Fuck you! And there we go. So. Yeah. All right. Let's see here. So we already did the Neil Wynn story. We'll skip that in a minute. That is funny, though. So you just found a whole bunch of iTunes logins on Pastebin the other night?
Yeah, just last night. I was looking around for TrueCrypt book and couldn't find any. But yeah, heap of iTunes came in. A bit more of the eBay stuff.
Yeah, that eBay stuff's going to be floating around a while.
Yeah,
I don't even have the eBay story. We can talk about it a little bit. Apparently, eBay got popped back in February, and then this week made a post saying, "Hey, you ought to change your passwords." Then took it down, and then put it back up.
Yeah.
So.
And I didn't look at the story, but I just saw something else that they got nailed by something else again.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Truly sure what's behind that, but eBay seemed to be a target right now for some reason.
Yeah,
it'd be tied to everybody's PayPal accounts for one thing.
Well, PayPal haven't been hit for a long time.
They probably have, and they've just been paying off who hits them as opposed to letting hit the news. But
yeah. Well, generally, you see some sort of post about it's happened. You know, just someone claiming victory, you know, for their little ego dance or whatever they like to do, but I haven't even seen anything like that. Just your regular flame wars between different sections of groups going at each other right now, and it seems to be a big fun and game to drop the entire users' names and networks of that, of your opposition, into the NSA's lap for shits and giggles.
that is the thing. Once you dox somebody, it's out there for everybody, including people you don't like. So... But anyway, so I guess on the TrueCrypt thing, I don't know. Sard, I know you were following this too. You got anything else on this? I pretty much stated my case.
Yeah, I mean that's pretty much it, man. Like we said, it's anyone's guess as to right now is what actually is going on. I have no idea.
So, we'll find out next week.
Yeah. I imagine.
I hope so. But yeah, that iPad thing's funny. Just art, you found the dump, and then yep, here's the story of everybody's accounts getting locked. So that's pretty awesome. That's funny.
Streams there.
We were not coordinating on that, I promise. I just kind of threw that story in there because it's kind of fun. And I got handed an iPhone at work, so I'm stuck on an iPhone again. It's just like, well.
But if you are interested in security and knowing what's going on between different, what would you call them, hacking groups or whatever.
Gangs.
Check out what's, what's trending on Facebook. Pastebin, sorry.
It is better than Facebook, so.
Yeah, just go to the What's Trending, scroll down through there. For the love of God, don't be retarded and use any of the addresses and user logins from it. Yeah, it's an interesting place to just scroll around if you're sick of 4chan for a couple of hours.
Yeah, I will tell you, though, you'll find an amazing number of email accounts that the same password will work for. Like, you know, somebody's done a forum dump and it's a Gmail account. A lot of times you'll be able to log into that Gmail account with that password. If you're doing that, I recommend using your neighbor's Wi-Fi. Google actually does log or VPN or something. Tor is actually quite effective for that. But it's Google does log where those IPs are and will alert that, you know, hey, we just saw this weird IP because you normally log in from, you know, Michigan, and we just saw a log in from Florida. So,
yeah. Don't be stupid. Be sensible if you're going to poke around there.
All right. So we've already done one news story. I don't know. Anybody else have anything on the iPad stuff before we do this Torrent Freak story? I need crickets on the soundboard. That was the one I forgot. It's like when I was redoing the soundboard, I had to re-encode a bunch of the sounds for it, and not a big deal to do it. But I was like, you know, do I think I have everything I care about? Yeah, we do. So let's do this. Let's see. Let's do this Torrent Freak story. Thanks to the Six Strikes program, leading ISPs in the U.S. now hold databases containing allegations of infringement against their customers. That data was supposed to be private, but now the most prolific filer of copyright lawsuits in the U.S., Malibu Media, is trying to obtain information from Comcast in order to build a case against an alleged porn pirate. In a case which has been... I don't need to read this verbatim. What's happened here is Malibu Media... is been going after this woman. Did I copy your name into the notes? No. Apparently her last name is Toshiro. I didn't copy her full. Kelly Toshiro, a middle-aged female nurse from Indianapolis. They tried to sue her for sharing porn. And they're not getting anywhere. So they're subpoenaing Comcast to get access to their Six Strikes database to use as evidence in court.
Huh. Wow. That's kind of scary.
Yeah. I mean, we kind of mentioned it when ISP said they were going to start doing these Six Strike databases, but I haven't heard anything about them since.
Yeah.
And... I just like that. It's like, you know, we actually want that whole database so we can start suing people.
Like, I'd like to know, like, how long do they keep the records in this database?
Are they going
to
be hold,
having this information, like, 20 years later when laws change and, like, things get opened up? Like, it's kind of sketchy because, like, oh, yeah, sure, the laws totally say this has to be private right now. But that could easily change retroactively and just open it up. For, you know, whatever organization wants access.
Yeah, it's not like they go, oh, the rules changed, wipe the database and start fresh.
Yeah. So these things, like, even if, like, when they're implemented, even if they have the most pure intentions and just, like, never in a million years would even consider sharing that information with anyone, all it takes is a couple of years for management to change, and now it's a different story.
Yeah, the right person gets fired, and suddenly nobody cares anymore. So.
Good point.
Yeah. All right, so that's sad, and again, use a VPN.
Pressing.
Just use a VPN. Because
I should have tried to put a lighter note on that one.
Welcome to Pure Decking, where the stories make you want to cut yourself. Anyways. Yeah. All right. Let's go up. Next story here is from The Guardian. Hector Javier Monsquer, also known as Sabu, was released from a Manhattan courtroom on Tuesday after the judge saluted his extraordinary cooperation with the FBI. He was sentenced to time served, which was about 7 months, and a year of supervised release, which was a reward for, you know, all the work he's done as a federal informant since they, you know, flopped him a couple of years ago. So, yeah. And the story is actually, it's worth reading the Guardian story, because apparently the judge was just absolutely, you know, creaming her pants over how helpful he was to the FBI. Because, I mean, it was just like, it was extraordinary how quickly he turned. And, yeah, let's see. Did I copy any of that in the story? No, because it was just silly. But, I mean, she was just praising him. And, you know, it's like, oh, it's how wonderful it was that he turned code on his friends so quickly. And, and he worked as hard as he possibly could because they put a camera in there and watched everything he did. They put a camera in his apartment.
His ass didn't want to go to jail. Are you surprised?
Well, and it's really funny because I did copy this article. On the 7th of June 2011, FBI agents knocked on Monsquer's door in Manhattan. His transformation from a hacker legend, really.
Really?
Into an informant.
Really?
Well, yeah, that's a quote from the article. Into an informant.
Legend. Really?
Somebody played way too much League of Legends, I think. Was an... damn it, lost my place. Into an informant was instantaneous. He agreed to cooperate with government immediately. The speed of his conversion was significant and praised by Preska during her sentencing Tuesday, as it prevented a security mechanism from kicking in amongst low-sec members who had agreed to destroy all their files should any of them go offline for any length of time. So, yeah, they all had the agreement of, yeah, if somebody disappears for a week and then pops up like nothing happened, delete your shit. Because... I cut this bit out of the story, but yeah, Sabu helped catch a bunch of members of Anonymous and LulzSec, a lot of the people he was working with. So, I mean, he got a ton of them. Wow. Of course, the interesting part about all this is the story left out the fact that he was acting as a guardian for his two nieces and was told that if he didn't cooperate, he would go to jail and they'd go into the government child care system. You know, foster homes and that kind of stuff.
It's amazing how fast you turn. Wow. Yeah.
Well, you know, you really can't blame them when they're going to take your kids away.
No, I really don't blame them.
Why she was so surprised. That's like, duh, of course.
That's why I put it. That's why I went and added that, because the story left it out.
Yeah.
It's like, oh no, it's just, look, he turned coat for the FBI right away because they were holding his kids hostage.
Yeah.
But this is fucking the main reason. Like, I don't know the man. I'm pissed as hell at the guy for turning code on his mates to start with. This is why, if you're ever gonna do shit that could land you in jail or have something taken away from you that you truly love, don't have attachments when doing this shit. Understand that you cannot have an attachment to anything if you are gonna be doing anything illegal. Because guess what? They use that as leverage to fuck you and fuck everybody associated with you. So you can't have an attachment, man, when doing sketchy, sketchy stuff. That was his fail. Not that he got caught. That he gave a fuck about two people in his life and they used leverage on him.
Right? So.
Yep.
Not wrong.
All right. Let's see. Next one up is a nice Ars Technica article. This one's less depressing, although I've got a depressing slant on it. A federal appeals court has ruled that the public has the right to film cops in public and has reinstated a lawsuit against a local New Hampshire police department brought by a woman arrested for filming a traffic stop. The plaintiff in the case, Carla Grickey. was arrested on wiretapping allegations in 2010 for filming her friend being pulled over by the Weird Police Department during a late-night traffic stop. Although she was never brought to trial, she sued, alleging her arrest constituted retaliatory prosecution in breach of her constitutional rights. So, pretty much the first U.S. Circuit Court ruled that you have a First Amendment right to record what the police are doing. The exact quote was, she was exercising a clearly established First Amendment right when she attempted to film the traffic stop in the absence of a police order to stop filming or leave the area. So, because the police didn't ask her to stop filming, it was okay for her to film them.
Oh, great.
So, on one hand, that's cool that they've said, you know, yes, you can film the police. On the other hand, as long as they don't tell you not to. kind of a catch 22 there.
You have the right to do something as long as we forget about our right to tell you to stop.
Yeah, basically.
ow. Logic.
Yeah, here you go.
Thank you.
Okay. Yo, I should have played Toasty earlier with your rant on the... Well, anyways, I just remember... I got used to not using the soundboard so much, and now I've got it again, and it's like, ooh. Let's
Squirrel.
See. Squirrel, yes. Yes. Let's see. 45 minutes in. All right, next story. Is this my last story? This is my last story. We went through these quick. I should have had one more. Let's see. This one's from Ars Technica, and this is hilarious. So, right, Windows XP is done, right? So, there's some people...
They say.
Some people out there have figured out that... Well, okay, Microsoft is still actually writing patches for Windows XP. They're doing it for governments and big corporations that are paying them. But a lot of these patches are going to... they're still patching the embedded operating systems, you know, because they run things like ATMs and cash registers and industrial machines. You know, open up an ATM, they're probably still running an embedded version of XP. So, there's some people who figured out that if you make some registry tweaks, Windows XP will show up as Windows Embedded POS Ready 2009 to Windows Update.
Huh.
And get the patches.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
Now, okay. Apparently, POS Ready 2009 is mostly, for the most part, Windows XP, but they sell it as the embedded version for running point-of-sale software. And it's missing some bits and pieces, but it's mostly Windows XP. So, what's the article here says? Windows Update sees the registry entries created by the hack and determines that the modified systems are eligible for POS Ready 2009 patches. Then there's the more interesting one of the 64-bit Windows XP, which apparently is a rebranded version of Server 2003 64-bit. And since I never really played much with Windows XP 64-bit, it doesn't surprise me, but I wasn't really aware of that. And they figured out that they can go in and recompile the Server 03 patches and patch 64-bit XP with them. So that seems like a lot of work. But and then my favorite part of the article here, Microsoft, needless to say, is discouraging users from using these techniques.
Okay.
Wow.
Saying that the security updates that could be installed are intended for Windows Embedded and Windows Server 2003 and do not fully protect XP customers. Windows XP customers also run a significant risk of functionality issues, saying you're going to break your shit. Functionality issues. Who came up? Did they like focus group test that phrase?
Most definitely.
With their machines, if they install these updates, as they are not tested against Windows XP. But I mean, that's a lot of work to stay on XP. It's like, yeah, we're finding registry hacks to make it look like the embedded system, where we're rebuilding the Server 03 hacks or updates for XP 64-bit.
It doesn't surprise me at all, though. I mean, they're going to do it because people love that operating system.
I know it. I just
they
like
should really just like give up and embrace the superiority that is Windows 8.
Jesus.
Oh, go away.
Wait, wait. Was it that one or? you tell me which one's more appropriate here. Was it a joke or are you
I'm
just going
say the
evil?
Second one.
So you're just going evil.
Full evil.
Okay. Well.
Yeah, I'm not touching it with a 40-foot pole.
You know, I can make Windows 8 work. I just really, really, really don't like the whole you have to have a Microsoft account.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, it's the same awful. It's the same shit you got to do with, you know, Apple stuff, where you got to have an iTunes account to do anything with an iPhone or a tablet. And,
even
of course, Google does it with Android, but, I mean,
yeah.
It's just like, damn, really? And Madman's making personal threats in the IRC, and I don't really blame him.
Dude,
a lot.
Too,
I want to stab you a lot. Now, what does he mean? He like really, really, really wants to stab you, or he wants to stab you multiple times? Madman, we're waiting on an answer here.
He just wants to playfully stab you, not maliciously, just so you have functionality issues the next day.
Functionality issues. He means you won't be able to shit right.
What does that exactly mean? That's awesome.
Yeah, exactly the same way Microsoft meant it to mean.
Interesting.
You may have some usability issues too. I wonder if that'll work for calling in sick. Can't come in today. Got some user issues.
I'm having some functionality issues with my bowels. I don't really want to come.
Yeah, I tried to install a new hot curry last night.
Ah!
And
okay. I don't know. Does anybody else have anything on this XP thing? It's just amazing how much work people are working, putting into getting patches for XP. I kind of figured if you're still on XP, you don't really give a fuck about keeping it up to date.
Yeah.
I mean, I know there's
sure
businesses.
It's just a bunch of people who just never bothered preparing and now are fucked.
Well, I mean, I know there's businesses out there that are still running custom software that just simply won't work on anything but specific builds of XP.
Yeah.
But
I guess it's time to start thinking about migrating.
You think?
It's expensive and it's a pain, but that's the price of business.
Well, I tell you the thing to do, in all seriousness, if you're going to have to deal with the migration issue, you might seriously look at Ubuntu and Wine, or any Linux and Wine. I don't know why.
Nah, just go to Vista. You'll be fine.
Yeah, that'll end well.
Yeah, there you go.
But I'm seriously thinking if you ported your application to Linux, because you can pull up Linux applications that are like 20 years old, they'll still run. I don't know that there are any that are 20 years old, but like old. You can recompile the code from like old Unix systems and it'll fucking run. I guess that's, the benefit of having the source code right there. You can just, compile it against a modern GCC, it'll link it and it'll run, but nobody touching that, really?
No, you put enough time and effort into any system, you can get it to run.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's just the level of time and energy you want to expend for what you're going to get.
Yeah. No, people are lazy. It doesn't surprise me, dude. We'll be seeing registry hacks forever. I imagine for Windows XP.
Well, it does. I do find it interesting because, Microsoft is writing patches for XP for the people who are paying them for it. I would imagine that since somebody's paying them, they might as well. Well, I guess that would kind of defeat the point. I was thinking, they ought to at least make them available, the serious ones. But,
and they did for
that last IE one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, that was also right after they declared they were done. So
that's true.
I guess
I thought it was kind of funny.
I guess if they're bad enough, but
that's why I think. I mean, if they keep leaking them out like that, no one's going to move off of it.
Yeah.
You're still going to see it with 30% market share out there, I imagine.
I thought it was down to 25.
Is it?
Something like that. All right, let's do this. All right, for Digital Dojo tonight, I have a called what's called a boot to root VM. It's a virtual machine that's meant for kind of a personal capture the flag challenge, and it's called SecOS 1, and it was put out by Paul Sec on GitHub, and it's a intentionally vulnerable virtual machine that's got a bunch of stuff running in the background. So it's a web, it runs a web app, and then it's got cron jobs where like the system administrator is logging in and out of the thing all the time, and you know, work is going on in the background. So it's like a living system.
Cool.
It's automated, so it's not like a real living system, but it's close enough. And so it's great for learning on, practicing, learning tools, seeing, you know, seeing how this stuff is going to work without the, you know, risks of breaking a real system or having legal legal functionality issues. You know,
you're gonna be using that word all week, aren't
you?
Oh,
yes, I am now. I'm going to be using that one at work in meetings. It's like we're having a serious functionality issue here with this because the database died.
Nice.
Yeah. But anyways, to go along with this VM, this SecOS VM, a user on GitHub by the name of Vicinus777 has made a walkthrough video of getting root in this. Now, this is not really a walkthrough. It's not even a let's play because he's not explaining anything. There's no sound. It's just a screen capture of him going through. And I imagine, because it's only 8 minutes long and he's doing everything pretty precisely. So he spent the time to figure out how to do it. Then he went back and recorded himself doing it correctly the first time. So you're probably going to need, if you're, you know, trying to actually follow what he's doing, you probably have to pause the thing a bit. And, you know, he's not explaining tools or anything. He's just running it. But still, it is a walkthrough of somebody actually getting all the way to root and capturing the flag in this virtual machine. So it's a guide, you know. It's not a fantastic one because there's no explanation. It kind of assumes you know what you're doing. But still, you can see how this guy got into the box. And there's some insight into that, you know? Even if you don't sit there and work through the problems yourself, there's still some insight into watching somebody do it and seeing exactly what they do to make some of these attacks work.
So what you're saying is I should run my web server off of this VM and see what happens.
You go right ahead and do that, Sart. Just make sure you send me the URL.
Okay. And
I want copy of URL as well.
Yeah,
I will try and use this video as best I can.
So, anyways, that's really all I've got tonight. Of course, you know, we're back. Listen to the stream. We're always working on it. I'm going to be updating the main webpage in a little bit because it's a bit dated at this point because nobody's touched the thing. And what can we say? Real life, like, invaded and kind of kicked the shit out of everybody. So,
yeah.
Of course, Pure Decking every Thursday. We're moving to 9 instead of 9:30, well, my time. So, what is that in your time there, Sard?
7.
7, okay. So, anyways, of course, Pure Decking, Shoot the Noises on hiatus. Missing Dialogues. We are doing Missing Dialogues on Tuesdays. I've got to work with Lore to get a system so he can do the show live when I'm not around. Of course, the Galaxy 15 radio site, the Twitter handle, the feedback forum, the sim is gone, and the subreddit, and the IRC channel. So, plenty of ways to get a hold of us.
YHN will be back whenever it could be bothered.
Yeah, we'll get it straightened out here once everybody's life calms down a little bit. So, anyways, that's all I've got for tonight. Anybody have anything they want to throw out before we hit play on this music?
Nope.
Nope. Not really.
Oh, yeah, Sarge, you do any Pure Deckings while I was gone?
No, man, like I said, I still can't get that VM working right.
He did that one where he just shit-canned you all over the place there.
Oh, okay.
Shh, don't tell him about that one.
I think I selected the wrong track.
Yeah, this track goes for ages.
Let's just hit next.
Probably not want this track either.
Why is this quiet? It's like not even loud enough to trigger TeamSpeak. Okay, so our closing music fail.
We're still on air.
I know we are. I'm just trying to figure out why this thing's so quiet.